Let me ask you, by the way, how'd this week go in terms of managing your anger? Or how many of you are angry I'm even bringing it up again? I asked you to do an experiment with me this last week where we would pray a prayer. We would ask the Lord to do two things. We would say, Holy Spirit, we're asking you to manage my anger. But secondly, I'm asking you to manage my non-anger. And we talked about both of those things. Now, this summer, we're in this series about what does it look like to grow up into Christ. And Jesus, at one of the festivals, he stood and he shouted, is anybody thirsty? Anybody got unsatisfied desires, discontent, and unhappy? Come and drink from me, and out of the core of your being, I will cause a kind of living water to surge out of you. And so we've underscored that Christian growth is not us knuckling down and trying harder, but rather it's learning to live from one moment to the next in the flow or stream of the Spirit. And we began last week by talking about what are the things that cut me off. The Bible says, don't quench, stifle the Spirit in your life. What does that look like? Well, Paul says there are things that we take off and there are things that we put on. And so we're going to look at this key passage from Ephesians. Remember, we started with this acronym RAGS, R-A-G-S, and the R stands for resentment, the A stands for anxiety, the G for greed, and the S for superiority. And so we began last week with resentment and anger, and we'll finish that this week. But follow along in Ephesians 4 as I read. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Don't sin by letting anger control you. There it is. Sin, but be angry, but don't sin, the Bible says. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for your anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. How are you doing on that one, by the way? Every single word to be helpful and beneficial. Every word. I've got a little bit of growth to do in that one. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So here it is. Take off. Now get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, you be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. All right. It was Dallas Willard who noted that Jesus talked more about resentment, hostility, and anger in the Sermon on the Mount than any other topic. And why? Well, I think it's fairly easy to answer because it is so foundational. It is so fundamental. There's a sense in which if you get this one right, you get a lot of other things right, but you get this one wrong, and there's a whole host of other things that come apart at the seams. When I mismanage anger, it leads to a whole multitude of other sins. It's like the dominoes begin to fall. And the highest of all virtues, which is love, and unity and peace is broken. And what these words, whatever they mean, it's not a good thing. It gives an entry point for the devil, for him to gain a foothold. When we don't do the anger deal right, we open ourselves to enormous damage. Now, as we read, the Bible says, be angry, but don't sin. So it assumes that we will all get angry. Anybody get angry this week? Anybody? One here? Two? Okay, good. Yeah. I was going to say our confession will have an altar call, so let's be honest, right? Yeah, we all get angry. It just assumes that we will all get angry. But it also assumes that your expression, how you manage or handle your anger, is your choice. They make me so stinking mad. I mean, just the thought of them. I don't even have to see them. I can blow fuses at just the thought of that individual. I simply can't help myself. I just blow. I blow fuses. You ever heard words like that? Oh, they're very common among us. And it implies that we are victims of our anger and we are left without choice or control over our responses. Now, every single one of us, we grew up in homes, and they were, by the way, those of you who are raising small kids, that is a learning center for how they will, what they will put on and what they will take off. That is a learning center for anger and the management of how they will respond. But we all come from backgrounds and homes where we learn certain patterns with regards to anger, and it is now the way that we express anger as adults. So some of us, we indulge our anger. Some of us, we nurse it along. Others try to forget it. And some pretend as though you never get angry at all. But we know better. We know better. But each one of us chooses, as an adult, what we will do with our anger. So here's the question, all right? Who is it that is responsible for the way that you handle and express your anger? And the correct answer would be everybody else, right? Yeah, that's right. It's you, and it is me. So here's where we're going to go. We're going this morning, all right, with just the moments that we have. I want to talk first about to stay in the flow of the Spirit. You've got to learn to prep your soul. Remember Jesus said, out of your belly, your gut, He alone can do the deep core work that all of us so need. We're going to talk about the core work of prepping for anger, all right? Then we're going to look at a couple of common ways that anger gets expressed among us. And then we'll talk about some antidotes that help so that we manage our anger in a God-honoring way. So first of all, what does this mean that we prep for anger before it hits? Now, there's all kinds of self-help classes when it comes to anger management. There was a movie years ago, remember Jack Nicholson came out with a movie called Anger Management. I did not see it. I heard it was terrible. But it was sort of a comedic way to just say, look, we live in a raging, in an uptight culture. I heard that Charlie Sheen was going to do a reality program, if there's ever a guy that needs some anger management. And it was just called Anger Management. I don't know if it ever came out, but he was going to produce this program. And every single day in courtrooms all over this nation, judges require of people, if you can imagine, they mandate that they have to go to anger management classes. So it happens everywhere. But what I want to make clear one more time is that today we are not just taking a self-help class with a few techniques to help you lessen your anger and simply putting that into a church context. What we are doing today is reminding one another that you have available to you the transforming power of the universe. And at the very center of it all is grace. And that grace is made available by God's Holy Spirit. And it really is. The goal of this entire series is that you become more like Jesus. Somebody was so surprised last week. They came up and they were telling me, and I blow this and I break this and I do this when I'm angry. And I said to them, look, do you understand the goal of this? You actually can become more like Jesus. You were created to be an image bearer of the Almighty. But that will never happen unless there is a power greater than ourselves that comes to us, and that power is called grace. It is given to us by the Spirit. So how is it then that I learn to open myself up to the power of God's grace in my life? And the best way that you can do that is through what we'll call spiritual exercises, spiritual practices or habits. And these are simply activities that I do with my mind and my body that help me disrupt the normal flow of knee-jerk thoughts and feelings so that I make room for the Spirit. We enter into a kind of training process that prepares us well in advance for anger episodes so that there are no surprise attacks. Now, all of them are very helpful, and others, much more eloquent than I, have written on them. But the two that I'd like to zero in on this morning are these. They are solitude and silence with God. Solitude and silence with God. Now, Jesus, who is our example of everything, becomes our best example of this. We find him often withdrawing. Jesus would go away to a quiet place. Now, how in the world does that help me manage my anger? Well, we have been relearning again that the Spirit's transforming work begins in our minds, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And it is only when I get alone and quiet and pay attention to God that I have an opportunity then to set my mind, Colossians 3, 1 and 2, on things that are above. Because it is with God in solitude that I gain an eternal perspective. It is there I remember what matters most and I regain my balance. I lose my petty agendas. I lose my need for constant approval. My need to be always right, even at the expense of being reconciled with you. Because when I'm alone with God before him, I become more humble. It's when I'm before him that I realize that if any forgiveness is going to go on, that I remember how much I've been forgiven by him. Let me just tell you, praying for my enemies, I'm working on praying for my friends. But it is only there that I remember what Christ has done for me, and I regain my balance, and I get my footing back again. You know, at the core of much of our anger is a self-esteem that has been dinged and threatened. And I then feel resentment and anger. I feel like some injustice has been done to me. And I will stop at nothing, no matter the relational cost, to make sure that I set the record straight. But see, when we get quiet before God, with Bibles open, our minds are filled with truth, and we gain right and sane thoughts that come to our mind. And before we move into real life where we rub shoulders with people like me who can cause trouble and friction, we got to learn to prep our souls. Now, here's just my truth today. Here's mine. It is dangerous for me to be around people without having first been around God. That's the principle. If I go 2 or 3 days, I'm constantly around spiritual and religious things, but that's far different than me coming before my Creator, my Maker, my God, and my Lord, and my life then being open to Him and the truth of His Word being spoken into my heart and mind. I go 2 or 3 days, and I can tell you, I go sideways. I become a very different kind of person. And so much of our anger and resentment, if it would be examined and confessed, we could let go of it as we practice the disciplines of solitude, time with God. Inappropriate anger is the result of so many of us living insane paces of life that leave little or no reflection and meditation on God. Okay? Are you with me so far? All right. So we got to learn to prep our souls. It's how the Spirit, how we keep in the stream of the Spirit. Now, let's talk for just a moment about a couple of expressions of anger that we are sold a bill of goods that this is the healthiest way to process our anger. The first is, it especially comes through in reality TV. Especially, we get it in movies, we get it in other stuff, but especially in reality TV. And it is the expression of an aggressive kind of anger, an explosive. We could call these people exploders. They are splatterers. And their mantra is this: let her rip. Let her fly and hold nothing back without any restraint. And once you feel emptied of everything that is inside your mind and your soul and your mouth, that is the healthiest way to manage your anger. Now, in the moment, it does spell sweet relief. In the moment, it does feel really good. But the question we've got to ask is, what about the moments after that? What about 3 hours later or 3 days later? And to answer that, you can't ask the person who exploded, but you've got to ask the person who was the victim of that anger blowout. How was that for you? Are you feeling these days more inclined to lean into this relationship than before? Some of you as adults, you can remember, and it wasn't just days ago, you can remember years ago, a raging encounter that someone had with you, and you can remember the exact words. And it is proven that it is this kind of anger that escalates to violence and to physical abuse. And the Bible says, if you have adopted a style of aggressive anger, Paul says, put off all malice. Get rid of this kind of anger. And for every exploder, and I've been around a lot of them, this sounds like it's impossible. But I've had them tell me repeatedly, every time I've done it, every single time, with the greatest of regret. I wish I could go back. I wish I could get it over again, but I can't. I wish I could take the words back, but I can't. Now, aggressive anger types, they don't change overnight, but they do draw a line in the sand, and they say it will begin to change this day. And it is helpful if you would do some hard work and discover what are those trigger points. When are you most prone to anger? Now, some people they get angry. I know somebody, I have a friend, who when they are hungry, any form, I just keep treats on me all the time. Because they blow fuses. They are intolerable to deal with when they're hungry. I can tell that's a few of you too, isn't it? Some people, when they get tired, they get angry. Some people, when they're under pressure, when they get rushed. And it is also helpful to do the work with God's Spirit that there are certain people, you know, there are just certain people, and for whatever reason, they can just light the fire for you. And it's helpful to be aware of those so that you can prepare for future relational encounters that are called Thanksgiving and Christmas, by the way. And then there are certain situations that can trigger our anger. I have a friend, a she friend. And by the way, I'm not talking about my wife. I'm not. But she is the dearest, sweetest, most God-loving people. Just keep her out of a car. You let her drive, and I am telling you, I just like, what in the world happened to you? She has given sermons and lessons and words flying out of this girl like you cannot believe. For some, it's waiting in lines. Have you ever found yourself at the grocery store and the line that you chose? You know how you go to the grocery line, and we all do this. We size up which line's going to get us out of the quickest, and we choose aisle number 4. And then we see that aisle number 2, the one we were going to go to, is leaving before, and it's amazing what can trigger. And for some of you, if you're just breathing, that alone will do it. I was shocked to see the level of anger expressed by adults who came to attend their children's sporting events. Unbelievable. I played a lot of baseball as a young kid, and I got a great job being an umpire. Paid well in those days. It was remarkable. So I umpired, and I umpired a lot of Little League games. I was not ready. I was not ready. I mean, I had fathers come on the field and choose me off. Here I am. I'm like a 19-year-old kid. I mean, what are we teaching a generation of kids? Well, if you are an exploder this morning, I would encourage you, by the help of the Spirit, to identify those triggers, and not only with the help of God, but listen, this takes a community. In fact, I was so proud. I had a Fusion Life Group leader. It's a group of guys. He came and said, "Mark, we're using this summer series as our weekly point of contact and discussion. And he just said, we all shared about the brokenness of the homes that we grew up in. And we just made this vow that we would not allow each other to continue to manage our anger in a way that gives a foothold to the evil one. And so with the help of God and the help of others, you can learn, all of you exploders, to delay your response. Remember last week we talked about the life-giving quarter second that one researcher talked about? That when impulse forms in your brain before it reaches that part of the body and becomes action, that there is a quarter second. Now that doesn't sound like much, but in the life of the mind, it is huge. And it is really what it is the adult equivalent of a timeout. That's what it is. God has made you, created you, designed you to live in the Spirit. So you will either in those moments take every thought captive, you will either live in the Spirit or you will give access to the devil into your life. One of those two things. And when kids are given timeouts, I can remember when my kids were young, it's many years ago now, but oftentimes when they would blow fuses, I would tell them, and I would just smile about it, make them so mad. I would just smile and say, look, you're free. You can pull a fit, but you can't do it in here. You can go in your room and you can fit all you want. And then when you're done with your fit, you're welcome to come back out again. Now, what I was really doing was not necessarily disciplining them. They were insane. They were nuts. They were crazy. It was either I had to put them in straps or I had to get them alone. Well, look, you know that there are times when I have to just take that thought captive, realize what's being triggered in me, and I have to just step back. Sometimes I've got to remove myself from the room. But the one thing I cannot do, Mark, do not say anything. Do not talk. You got to learn to buy some time. And so much of our anger responses are that we tattoo one another with malicious intent. And see, if I don't believe the best about you, if I believe the worst about you, believe me, I will be one walking explosion. I will not, sometimes when you've been wounded, to think the best, you will not do that on your best day alone. It will take God's Spirit to help you do that. Well, you may need to do some anger autopsies and see what past anger was all about. And here are some questions. How could I have handled that situation differently? Was my response justified or was it too intense? What unfortunate side effects did my mismanaged anger cause? And am I to be blamed or to be praised? To every exploder, final word, is there hope for me, you ask? And there is. There is. The power of the Spirit and the power of a godly community can help you to handle those quick fly-off-the-handle responses. There's hope for every exploder. All right, secondly, and we'll be done here in just a minute. Second, the second most common approach to anger is stuff. You don't explode, but you stuff. Stuffers. And they always act so put together on the outside. Sweet on the outside. But inside, see, and they do this because they feel self-righteous. Ah, thank God, at least I'm not an exploder. I'm not a splatterer. On the outside, they look put together, but on the inside, they are bitter, they are angry, and they are resentful. And they express their needs indirectly, leaving everybody to guess what they are really saying or feeling. That's why the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. So all of you who stew in your anger and you soak in it, you need to know that that anger is every bit as toxic and deadly as those who explode. It will take the work of the Spirit, and it will take the accountability of a group of people to walk you through your stuffing. Third and lastly, and Alex, if you'll come, and Jaime, if you guys will get ready on the other side of the street, these people are people who leak. They are leakers. Anger comes out of them, but it comes out sideways. They just leak anger. Now, nothing is direct. They are passive aggressive. And it comes out in this way. It comes out in sarcasm. See, you think you're so clever. Sarcasm, you cannot have a relationship with somebody who deals with you in just constant sarcasm. Sarcasm, put downs, and pouting. Pouting. Grown men, grown women, my feelings are hurt. I didn't get my way. I'm going to take my toys and I'm going to go home. Now see, everybody knows that something is wrong because your actions are a dead giveaway that there is underlying resentment and anger, but you won't say it directly. And leakers, for you as well, you need to do a truthful assessment of your anger. And with the help of the Spirit and the group of others, you can make progress in this. Now, let me ask both sides of the street, all right, just for fun. How many of you, you are an exploder? You're a splatter. How many? That's you. That's the style you've learned. All right. How many of you are stuffers? Ah, it's a bunch of us. And how many of you are leakers? And who didn't raise their hand? All right, I'm coming. All right, now, lastly, look. If you raise your hand, oh, that's me, that's me. And you, I just want you to know, none of these are good. Okay, so if you feel, oh, I'm an exploder and a stuffer. Man, I... Listen, we've done enough damage. It is time for us. It is possible for us to live in the flow of God's Spirit. And lastly, I want to just give you a little secret about you. Do you know that some days that you are difficult to love? Don't look around. Don't throw any elbows. Some days I'm difficult to love. And so are you. And our mighty God is longing to partner with you and to partner with me. Rags, what do you take off? What do you put on? Resentment and anger. May it be true of us, I pray.